Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Today is a little bit different than normal as Joe's recording from his living room and I'm recording from mine, but for good reason. All of us are under quarantine down here in South Florida. So we thought that we still need to have a podcast and most importantly, update you on what's happening. So the coronavirus has caused a lot of changes throughout the economy, throughout the markets, and we're going to keep it a little bit more market related today, discuss kind of what has happened, maybe some reasons behind it, some of the bigger events, but it's definitely been an interesting start to 2020.
Yeah, so long story short, March was a rather rough month, and it was a rough first quarter. We had the quickest bear market in history and the worst market returns in the first quarter in history as well. Obviously, a lot of that is related to the coronavirus, and that's what we're going to discuss today. There were some positives to take away, but nonetheless, the first quarter was one to be forgotten.
I'm not going to disagree, but there was some positives. So if we take it out of context a little bit, we did have 2 days where the S&P 500 was up over 9%. So by itself, like I said, out of context, that's great. As Joe alluded to earlier, the rest of the month wasn't very good, and it hasn't been a good start to the year. We actually had a day, March 16th, where we were down almost 12%. That was the third worst day in the S&P 500's history after a day in 1929 and Black Monday back in 1987. So we're right there with historical events where the markets were volatile as well, but there was a lot of things that went into it. So let's start discussing some of those.
Yeah, so we had the quickest bear market, which is a decline more than 20% in history. If you look at a chart and compare that relative to the prior bear markets, it's quite a bit quicker than most. And so what were the reasons for that? Well, first of all, heading into or prior to the coronavirus, the economy looked rather strong and markets are forward-looking. So said another way, stocks were a little bit expensive before this, and some of the retreat is just a return to normal in terms of long-term valuation.
As Joe said, the market is forward-looking. So when we saw the drops that we saw, it makes sense. When you're looking forward and you just see a big question mark, it's tough to decide what you should be paying for markets and for individual stocks. And that's largely the reason that we saw some of those big drops as this virus started to move forward. The big word is uncertainty. You just did not know if the economy would shut down for a week, a month, a year. We still don't know. We didn't know how quickly this virus was going to spread, somewhat because we didn't have any testing available. But when you have kind of all those together, it does create a market that, like we saw and Joe said, fell quicker than we've seen throughout history. And we're in the current standpoint from where we're at.
So something that added to some of the uncertainty that we've had and kind of gets lost in all this is the issue in oil markets with Saudi Arabia and Russia. Shane, you want to go over that a little bit?
Yeah, so I think when you say lost in all this, people pay attention to what stocks did. Bonds usually don't move that much, so they're not going to really pay attention. But the bond market or the potential for some bond market problems really did hurt the stock market as well. So let's just call it a disagreement on oil, largely between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And what that does, you know, making a long story short, is it brings into question oil companies. If oil prices are lower, they aren't going to make as much. They're not making money. It comes into question whether they can pay off their debts. Are they not going to pay us, those bondholders out there? Are they not going to pay banks that hold their debt? And then if they didn't, there was going to be some ripple effect. So we definitely saw a time there where the credit markets or fixed income markets, we should say, in my view, were almost scarier than the stock market because there were some real problems there. Luckily, for the most part, the Fed stepped in and provided a little bit of help there to kind of calm those down. But there was a time there in early March where some things were getting pretty scary on the bond front.
Next up, we really have the impacts of the coronavirus. And what I mean by that, there's certainly going to be a huge health toll. We're working through that, and our nation is certainly trying its best to solve that as quickly and as swiftly as possible. But there's also a huge economic toll that results from the social distancing that the policies that we've set in place. While that's certainly the right thing to do to help slow the spreading of the virus and prevent the healthcare system from being overwhelmed, it has a big impact on the economy. Businesses are shut down. Some people can't work, especially those that are in the service sector. Some can't work from home. Vacations have been canceled. A broad array of professional sports leagues have canceled all of their events, concerts canceled. There's so many things that have been canceled as a result of that. And really, I know that we've said the word multiple times today, but this social distancing, we don't know when it's going to end because we don't know how quickly the case count is going to decline and whether the cases are going to be completely contained in the coming weeks and months. But it creates uncertainty as to what the economy is going to look like afterwards. There's been some stimulus by the government to help bridge the gap, to help support it. But how quickly will the economy respond once this passes? That's another uncertain factor that's driving a lot of this volatility in markets.
And Joe said a couple of things, but when we try to compare this to past markets that we've had like this, if we just compare it to the financial crisis not that long ago, in probably everyone's memory still, it is very different because back then we could go to a restaurant. We could hop on a plane and fly across the country. Right now, it's very, very different because those businesses are shut down, not because they were in financial trouble, but because of the virus. And when we look at this time around versus the financial crisis, it's going to have a much wider effect. A lot more people, a lot more businesses are, let's call it, directly affected by this. And that is something that is relatively new. And we really have never seen this before, which makes this a very big question mark again as we kind of move forward and are some of the things we're trying to get more information on.
Yeah, there's really no prior event in history that we can draw apples to apples comparisons to, whether it be the financial crisis or previous epidemics like SARS and MERS and Ebola and Zika. Certainly that those were situations as well, but they never exploded to the extent that the coronavirus has. So there's no apples to apples comparisons there. Probably the closest thing will be the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, but our economy is far more complex today than it was then. And we were also in a world war, so not an apples to apples comparisons. That's adding to the uncertainty here. And we'll certainly get through this at some point, but the uncertainty over all these factors that we just went through is really what's driving the uncertainty over the stock market right now.
And I think the fact that Joe said the closest comparison was something from the early 1900s really hits home that it is unprecedented. We haven't seen something like this before, so we are dealing with it for the first time. So to have a little more good news, briefly, despite what the markets have done, and they dropped over 30% from kind of the peak back in February to a low in March, we did see a time frame there where the markets did jump about 17%. So it did feel good, I think, for a lot of people to see some green, maybe a little update, a little uptick in their 401k accounts. But overall, this hasn't been that bad in terms of a percentage drop. I've heard somebody say that they recently looked at their 401k. It wasn't as bad as they thought because we aren't down as much as we were during the financial crisis. So back then we were down over 50%. During the dot-com bubble, we were down over 50%. And we're not, I would say, not even that close to those amounts yet.
And lastly, some things to consider in terms of what may propel markets to start moving higher again. And it's really a removal of all the things that we've been mentioning here earlier, which is the uncertainty. Once we start to see the number of cases starting to decline, once we are able to get away from the social distancing, once everyone is able to go back to work, once we're able to get better readings on economic activity, unemployment comes down, consumer spending is up, all of these factors are going to help create more certainty in terms of the future path of the economy. And that's what will help drive the stock market future higher in the future. We just got to get past these next couple weeks and months, and then we'll have a better idea of where things are going to be headed.
So it will take a lot of patience because we are still relatively new into all of this here in the U.S. So we will see as things go along. But hopefully some of that market information calmed you down a little bit or just provided you more information so you're more informed. But it will be kind of a wait and see approach to see how this virus does act going forward. But we're hoping for a swift recovery for the economy and all those affected by the virus. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode of Relatable Finance, and we will talk to you soon.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. there is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.